You know, I'm sitting here looking at the temperature again today. I was just checking the weather. And it has been a long, cold spring. And I remarked to a couple of people here recently. I said, I can't wait till they come out and tell me that it's the hottest May in history. Blah, blah, blah. Right. Right. We haven't seen an 80-degree day yet this year. We haven't seen 80 degrees yet. It may happen today if it does. It's the first time. But, you know, highs of 65 and 60 and 52 degrees just a couple of days ago here in the upper Midwest. It's ridiculous. And my next guest says that, you know, there used to be a time when being part of a professional scientific society was a big deal and an honor and a privilege. But he says whether it be chemistry, physics, geology, or engineering, many of the world's primary professional societies have changed from being paragons of technical virtue to opportunistic groups focusing on maximizing their members' financial gain in support of climate scare. Dr. Jay Lair, policy analyst with the Ottawa, Canada-based International Climate Science Coalition. Doctor, good to have you.
Good morning, Steve. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Always a pleasure to have you. Here I am looking at a long, cold, wet spring, and there's flooding in the Midwest of the United States, and the word that I am so tired of when it comes to this conversation, it's unprecedented. It's never happened before. It's the worst flood in the Mississippi River ever. Actually, no, there was this thing called the Great Flood of 1927 that flooded the Mississippi and Missouri rivers to extents we've never seen since. And it's not that hard to find these kinds of facts, but nobody seems to want to look, Doctor. What in the world is going on?
Well, it has nothing to do with science, and of course you're right. They are totally lying. There's nothing new under the sun. There's no weather that we have not experienced long ago, long before man was burning a lot of fossil fuels with SUVs, cars, and power plants, and so on. It's really all about politics. It's all about progressive, liberal leftists that want the government to be bigger, that want us to get rid of capitalism and install a socialist system. And as you point out now, they've taken over essentially all of our scientific professional societies. That, using your words, they were once a paragon of virtue, and they have gone in, and the people that have gone into their executive committees are liberals, and they're now putting out policies claiming that their societies all think that climate change is an existential threat. It enlarges their power, and they think the membership will go along with it because they're thinking, well, this will be work for their physicists and chemists and engineers because
sure.
We have to solve the problem of man-caused climate change.
I have good news, Doctor, and that is I believe we will be here far longer than 12 years from now. I think we'll survive despite what AOC may say. Now, let me ask you this. This is important. What is your background? Where was your field of study over the last many years?
Well, my PhD is in water science, hydrology, but also in environmental science. And in the last 30 or 40 years, energy has been my specialty, whether it's wind, solar, both of which are frauds, or nuclear energy, natural gas, and oil. And I travel throughout the world really lecturing on the fact that, of course, today the United States is the richest energy country in the world. And
always has been.
Others want us to go on wind and solar, which essentially is saying bring us back to the 19th century type of life.
Right. We would have an energy poverty is what we would have, because it's not energy on demand. It's if the wind blows, it's if the sun shines. And trust me, Michigan, not a particularly windy place for such purposes, not a particularly sunny place for such purposes. Can that work on scale for a family farm and so forth? Sure, it can. But can it power the industry of Michigan or Minnesota or Montana? No, I don't believe it can. And then you've got long lines that, of course, are inefficient and shed energy as that power is sent down the line. And it comes back to energy density, doesn't it, Professor?
Steve,
fossil fuels have
exactly
energy density.
Right. I have an elevator speech that I'm in a tall building going up five stories. I can explain to people the fallacy of wind and solar, and actually you articulated it very well. It's impossible. On a scale of a house or two, sure, not a problem. Feeding it into the grid to keep our civilization going is a totally impossibility. But where it's already costing the citizens of Michigan money because state and federal laws are requiring electric companies to have a portion of their energy come from wind and solar, and that energy is so expensive they have to raise everybody's electric bill.
Plus, I get to foot the bill. That's right, in the form of subsidies and tax breaks and things like that. Here's something else that I don't think is ever discussed. The wind turbines that I see in my neighborhood cost about $5.5 million a piece. They're built by Siemens, German corporation, making tons of money, pleased to do it. They take up about 50 acres of real estate, does each wind turbine. Plus, the tips move at about 187 miles an hour, making birds of prey specifically vulnerable to being cut in half by the Cousinart of flying things, that being the windmill. There are a lot of downsides that nobody ever discusses.
If you were an oil company and you had a pool of waste and a bird fell into it and died, you would be fined excessively.
Correct.
But if you're putting up windmills, you get a pass from the federal government, from all the environmental groups. It's okay to kill the birds. Or if you have a solar farm that operates by mirrors heating up a central oil container and you fry birds, you get a pass on that too. It's absolutely a disaster. But you've also failed to mention that if you live within 1,500 feet of a wind turbine, you're not sleeping well, you're anxious. We've found all kinds of medical problems with them, so much so that Scotland, Sweden, and Bavaria have outlawed wind turbines because of the medical problems.
Great bit of information. I wish we had more time. Next time, Doctor, we'll give you a longer segment because we have so much to talk about and so much to cover. But I greatly appreciate you being here. Dr. Jay Lair, well, Senior Policy Analyst.
Thank you, Steve.
With the Ottawa, Canada-based International Climate Science Coalition. Thank you, sir. It's Friday on the program. We'll take a quick break right here on the Steve Gruber Show.